So very good to see all of you back again this evening. In the evening sermons, I have been doing a series on the I Ams of Jesus, and we're going to continue this tonight. And actually, this will be the last sermon in this series on the I Ams of Jesus. The text is going to begin here now in John chapter 15 as we study tonight. I am the vine and you are the branches. Thank you, Kevin, by the way, for leading us in the song. It goes very well with the sermon. If you don't have a copy of the sermon outline, you just be turning over to John chapter 15. We're going to take up here now in verses 4 through 8. Here in the text, Jesus says, beginning in verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." And he says in verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be known as my disciples." Now the text here is going to be taking and breaking it down and studying it a phrase at a time. At the very beginning of the text here, he says, "Abide in me and I in you." The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Now, I know that we've got a lot of gardeners here. A lot of you work more with food than flowers. But you understand vines. And if you want to have any life, you've got to be connected to the vine. A branch that is not connected to the vine is dead. All of the branch's life is dependent upon its relationship to the vine. If it's not connected, it's going to be dead. It will bear no fruit whatsoever. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. The whole idea here is we are absolutely, totally dependent upon Christ for spiritual life, for eternal life. If we do not abide in him, if we are not in him, we will bear no fruit. Not only will we bear no fruit, we will be spiritually dead. The question then you have to ask is, how do you get into Christ? How do you get connected to the vine? You're going to find the answer over in Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 now, verse 26 and 27. What we're studying now is, how do you get into Christ? How do you get this connection between yourself and Christ, who is the vine, to where you can be one of the branches connected to the vine, to where life comes from? Galatians 3, now 26 and 27. "For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." All right, let's just stop right there. Here the text is telling you how to get in to Christ. You're dealing with a connection here between yourself and Christ. It all starts with faith. Faith coming from the Word of God. Once you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you openly confess that faith, repenting of your sins, and when you are baptized, something actually happens to you. You are baptized into Christ. You put on Christ. You find the same thing taught over in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" Now look at this. You are again baptized into Christ. This is how you have a connection between yourself and Christ. And verse 4, he says, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death." Please recognize that if you are not baptized into Christ, then you can't be in Christ. It is by your obeying the gospel that you become a branch connected to the vine. If you do not obey the gospel, you are not in Christ. He continues the text if you go back to Romans. And he says that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now notice verse 5. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." What I'm wanting you to notice is this phrase here, "we have been united together." When we were united together in the likeness of his death, this is dealing with your repentance and your baptism. There is a union, a union taking place, a uniting taking place between you and Christ when you obey the gospel. This union is discussed over again in Romans here, where he talks about how you've been united together. It's also discussed over in 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And again, the text here in Corinthians is talking about the idea of the two being one, a union taking place. So the question I ask is, when does this union take place where his spirit and our spirit become one? When are we joined and united together? It is when we obey the gospel. If you do not obey the gospel, you are spiritually dead. Without Christ, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. All physical life is dependent upon God giving us life. All spiritual life is dependent upon you being in Christ, connected to Christ, as a branch connected to the vine. Now then, let's continue. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, continues talking about being connected and abiding in Christ. He says, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Let's just stop right there. What is it they heard from the beginning? What they heard from the beginning was the Word. As you study the text here in John chapter 15, you will find that there's a direct connection to abiding in Christ and the Word of God abiding in you. Look at this, if you go back to the text above here in verse 7, John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. I'm wanting you to realize that when the Word of Christ abides in you, Christ is abiding in you. So if you let that abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning, that's the Word of God. He says, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Again, what I'm wanting you to see here is after you obey the gospel, after you've been baptized into Christ, and now that you have been joined to Christ, His Spirit, your spirit are one together. Now you're connected. For you to continue to abide in Christ, you've got to let His Word abide in you. Now I want you to notice that this is a conditional clause. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, that's a conditional clause. What if it doesn't abide in you? If what you heard from the beginning does not abide in you, then you're not in the Son and in the Father. The point I'm trying to make is you can be baptized into Christ and yet break yourself away from the vine. You can leave God if you refuse to allow the Word of God to abide in you. You get into Christ by obeying the gospel. You remain in Christ and abide in Christ as you continue to allow His Word to abide in you and control your life. As you continue in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, he says, now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him and he in him. Now look at this. You keep His commandments, abides in Him, and He in him. Do you see the connection there? The idea of a vine and a branch, where they're so connected. But how do you do this? You keep His commandments. You see, you have the Word of God abiding in you, and you're keeping it. You're living it. You're living His Word by keeping His commandments. When you're keeping His commandments, He abides in you. Continuing the text here, he says, going over to chapter 4, verse 16, and we have known and believed the love of God that has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Now here again, you're dealing with connection. The other verse was dealing with keeping His commandments. You keep His commandments, He abides in you and you in Him. But now, you got to abide in love. When you're keeping His commandments, the end of the commandments, if you don't realize this, is learning how to love God, learning how to love your neighbors yourself. You think about how many commandments are there that are not connected to you and your relationship with God and you and your relationship with people. Well, there aren't any. All the commandments are structured around you in your relationship with God and you in your relationship with people. Learning to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Learning to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the end of the commandment. That's what you're trying to get to. When you are doing this, as he says here, you're abiding in love. You're abiding in God and God in you. You're staying connected. But as I've already pointed out, you can leave. You can leave. Hebrews teaches this in chapter 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. God's not going to leave you, but you can leave God. you can depart from the living God. And if you choose to break yourself away from the vine, you are now spiritually dead. All life, all eternal life, is absolutely, totally dependent upon your being connected to God through Jesus Christ. And if you are not connected, if you are not in Him and abiding in Him, you are spiritually dead. Please understand this reality. So my question I have to ask for all of us is this. Exactly where are you? Where are you? Are you a branch connected to the vine? Are you in Christ Jesus? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you have not, you're not in Christ. Are you allowing the Word of God to abide in you, keeping His commandments, learning to love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself? Are you living Christianity? Because if the answer is no, then you're not connected anymore. You have left. And you are spiritually dead. You're spiritually dead if you don't obey the gospel. You're spiritually dead if you break yourself away from the vine and you leave God. So my question again is finally, where are you? Getting back to the text now, in John 15 and verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, again, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, but the Father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser is the one who comes into the vineyard and takes care of the vine. He prunes the vine so that it will be bearing a lot of fruit. He says about his Father, the vine dresser, in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. But you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So, here he talks about us being pruned. Now, if any of you pay attention to the plants around the building, I prune them. Outside here, we have this great big bushy vine that was just continuing to take over the place. It's not there anymore. It's still there. I pruned it. I cut it back. Whenever you cut back a vine, you're doing it so that it will bear more fruit in the future. Here it's talking about how the Father is the vine dresser, and the goal that we're trying to get to, we're trying to get to the point to where we're bearing much fruit. In order to bear the fruit, you have to be pruned. But he goes on further and he says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Please realize the word of God is what prunes you. The word of God is what makes it so that you can bear much fruit. God prunes you with his word. He goes on further and he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And so my question I got to ask is exactly, how does this work with the word pruning us? Let me go over and answer this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. This text here is dealing with exactly the role that scriptures play in the life of a Christian. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, and notice this, for reproof, for correction. Now let's stop right there. When you're dealing with reproof and correction, this is taking something away, removing things in your life, changing things in your life that do not need to be there. All of us have things in our life that we need to remove. They're called sin. And it is the Word of God that shows us and points out to us what is wrong in our life. As a child of God, you let the Word of God abide in you. You keep His commandments. And where His commandments tell you to correct, where His commandments tell you to change, you keep it. You do it. You are removing what is wrong. And not only that, he talks about how it's for instruction in righteousness. Then you start doing what's right. You are turning from what's wrong, putting it off, and then you are starting to practice what is right. Keeping his commandments, that's what it's going to do. Some of the commandments are going to tell you, don't go here, stop doing that, stop living this way. Other commandments are going to say, do this, practice this. As you practice the commandments, changes are going to take place in your life. You're going to be removing aspects of your life and adding other aspects. And he goes on, he says, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It actually comes back to how you respond to the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And the Hebrew writer tells us that it's able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the hearts of a man. The Word of God is the great divider. When you sow the seed of the Word of God, when it hits the wayside soil, it's the same seed that hits the good ground. But it all is dependent upon what you do with it. How you deal with the Word of God, and the Word of God, if it is accepted in the good and honest heart, can produce a Christian. But that same Word, when it hits the rocky ground rejects it. A division has just taken place. A division has just taken place. It all comes back to how you deal with the Word of God. How you respond to the Word of God. Are you going to let the Word of God produce faith? And then grow in your knowledge of the Word of God. And when the Word of God shows you what you need to do, you do it. I've actually seen the Word of God do thinning and pruning sometime, to where some people hear the Word of God and they go, I'm not going to do that. I've actually seen people get up and walk out of the building here before. Y'all probably didn't see it because they were on the back pew. And it didn't happen recently. But I've seen people in other congregations where I preach, and you can tell they're ready to come up and beat me up. And they don't come back. How do they respond to the Word? No, they rejected it. The Word of God is a divider. It can get down to the thoughts and the intents of the heart of a man. And it comes back again to how you respond to it. If you let the Word of God abide in you, then you'll continue to abide in the Father and the Son. And if you let the Word of God do what it's meant to do, and that is mold you and shape you as you submit to it, then you can bear much fruit. Your fruitfulness is dependent upon your response to the Word of God. Going over to 1 John again. We read this earlier. Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. So again, I'm wanting you to see here, it comes down to how you deal with the Word of God. Are you submitting yourself humbly under the hand of God, letting God mold and shape you through His Word as you obey it? But then there's another side of the coin. You see this in 2 John 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. No, here's the whole other side of it. Here comes the Word of God, and you go, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to abide in the doctrine of Christ. I'm going to go my way. He goes on further and he says, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ is both the Father and the Son. I want to go back to that. If you transgress and you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. You're away from the vine. You're not abiding in Him. You're not connected. You're dead. It all comes back to you and your relationship with God through His Word. As you go back to the vine and the branches, when He says, I am the vine, you are the branches, you abide in me and I in you, He comes in verse 7, He says, abide, if I abide in you and my words abide in you. It comes always back to the Word. It's the Word that produces the faith. It's the Word that corrects us. It's the Word that gives us instruction in righteousness. And when we submit to it humbly, we can bear much fruit. If we do not, and we transgress, and we don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, we just don't have God. But if we abide in the doctrine of Christ, notice here again the connection, we have both the Father and the Son. We remain connected where the life is. Now let's get back to the fruit. Wait a minute, I skipped a verse here, didn't I? That's 1 John 2:19. Excuse me. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. As I point out to you, sometimes you preach the Word, and you preach the truth, and there are going to be some folks that are going to go, no. I'm not going to do that. No, I don't believe that. No, I'm going to obey that. Okay, then a division just took place. A pruning just took place. Sometimes I refer to it as the removal of dead wood. These folks left. They went out from them. But he says in the very beginning, they were not of us. They may have been assembling with them, but they really weren't of them. He says they went out, that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. As I told you earlier, I've seen people, when it comes down to the Word of God and they just hear the truth, they get upset and they leave. Let me ask you, are they leaving me? No. Are they leaving you? No. Who are they leaving? They're leaving God. Because it's His Word. If you're putting His Word out there, when people say no to it, it's not you they're rejecting. It's God they're rejecting. Now then, let's get to the fruit. Going back to John 15 and 2, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So, it's pretty serious if you're not bearing fruit. If you don't bear fruit, you're taken away. And I understand if you're taken away, you're thrown in the fire. It doesn't sound like heaven to me. So again, I just want to come back and I want to ask you this question, ask myself this question. Are you bearing fruit as a Christian? Because the whole point of the pruning, the whole point of even planting the seed to get a vine and then pruning it, the whole point of the word pruning, everything is all for one goal. Ultimately, that is for you to bear fruit. It continues in the 15th chapter in verse 5 and 8 and following. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And then dropping down to verse 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. You can't do anything without Christ. He wants us to bear much fruit. And as I quoted to you earlier from verse 5, I don't even have that on the overhead, do I? Abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. Now then, Matthew 13, 23. He who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Now we're getting back to the parable of the sower. We're talking about different kinds of soil. Which one are you? Are you the wayside soil? Now, if you don't understand the wayside soil, the Word of God is preached out there to you. You hear about Christ crucified. You come to understand the need to confess of your faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized into Christ. You come to understand all this, and you go, no. Right now, you're the rocky ground, thorny ground. No, wayside. You said no. The rocky ground at least receives it. Thorny ground at least receives it. The wayside just says no right up front. Are you the good ground? Now the good ground receives the seed. The seed produces the faith. The faith, when it is confessed and repent and you're baptized into Christ, produces a child of God. Then you are connected. Then you are in Christ. But notice here what he says. You start bearing fruit. Some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. What is fruit? If you got to bear much fruit, my question is exactly, well, what does he mean when he says fruit? I believe the fruit is the end product of the commandments, part of it. And that is, you're bearing good works. You're learning to love God. You're learning to love your neighbor. And then you start sowing the seed. Any of you who have ever worked with farming know you plant the seed so that you can get more seeds. You plant wheat so that you can get a bunch more wheat seeds. You plant cotton seeds so you can get a bunch more cotton. There's a fruit at the end of it. You have something that's growing here, but there's a fruit that comes at the very end of it all. The end of it all is our relationship with God and our relationship with people. And part of that has to do with us becoming sowers of the seed to where we're starting to take the seed into the lives of other people. Let me show you this last verse on this to explain it to you. That's John 12, 24 to 26. And actually, we're going to be spending quite a bit of time on this text. Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Now then, just understand this simple formula. You got a grain of wheat, and it's here all by itself, but it remains alone. Well, it's just going to be one seed, isn't it? But he talks about how the grain has to die. That is, it has to give up its existence as a grain. But when it gives up its existence as a grain and it dies, it produces much grain. What is this talking about? This is talking about what we have to do as Christians to bear fruit. He goes on, he says, he who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. This is what he's talking about when he's talking about the seed dying. This is, you have to deny yourself. You have to let the Word of God take control. You have to become clay in the potter's hands. When you deny yourself in this world, then letting the Word of God take control, as I try to point out to you, at the end of that is going to be good works, is going to be loving God, is going to be loving your neighbor, and is going to be sharing with others what Christianity is all about. You will be teaching Christianity in your actions. You will be teaching Christianity in your word. And as a consequence, through your influence of your actions and you sowing the seed, you are going to be bearing much fruit. You preach the word in your actions. You preach the word by telling others about Christ crucified. He goes on in the text. He says in verse 26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Do you see? It all comes back to you humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. You serving God. You coming up to the Word of God. When He tells you to correct things, you correct them. When He tells you to reprove things and change things, you repent. You remove it. When He tells you to practice things and do actions, you do it. When you keep His commandments, you will bear fruit because you're doing what He says do. You're serving Him. You're denying yourself. You're letting His will dominate and control your life. Okay, let's summarize what we've learned from the lesson this evening. I am the vine, you are the branches. You abide in me and I abide in you. You can't do anything without me. How do you get connected to the vine? Because that's where all life is. You get connected to the vine by obeying the gospel, by receiving the seed of the Word of God into your heart, letting it produce the faith, being the good ground rather than the rocky ground or the thorny ground or the wayside ground. You be the good ground. You receive the Word of God into your heart, letting it produce faith, and then let the roots run deep. Let the Word of God control and dominate your life as you live by faith. But the way you obey the gospel is confess your faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized into Christ, putting on Christ. When you obey the gospel, you are baptized into Christ. You are joined to Christ. You become one with Christ. There's a connection between you and God by you being in Christ. And that's where life is. If you're not connected to Christ, you are dead. But even after you become connected to Christ, you can depart from the living God. You can leave God. If you choose to break yourself away from the vine, you are spiritually dead because all life is in Christ. The way God prunes us is with His Word. You have to receive the Word. You have to let the Word mold you and shape you. And when the Word of God molds you and shapes you, you will bear much fruit. Much fruit. And in the end, you'll be with God in heaven. The I Am's of Jesus are very simple lessons. My wife kindly tells me that my simple lessons are my best. But if you think about the parables of Jesus, aren't they simple? He told simple parables so the people could understand deep spiritual matters. Christianity is not a deep mystical religion. It's a quite simple religion. But it is the truth. It is the way to eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you have actually come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you are willing to openly confess your faith and repent of your sins, we will baptize you as quick as we can get you to the water. We will baptize you into Christ, baptize you into His death, into the body of Christ, for the remission of your sins. Then you will be abiding in Christ. You will be in Christ, a branch connected to the vine. Your goal as a child of God will then be to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, follow His commandments by faith, understanding that it all comes back to the Word, and let the Word of God prune you and shape you. If you're willing to do this, it's just a fact. You will bear much fruit in your life. But if you have been stubborn toward the Word of God, even though you're in Christ, and you're going to go your way rather than having God mold and shape you, you have left God. You're not abiding anymore in the Word. What you've heard, you've let go. You got to let what you've heard abide in you. And if what you've heard abides in you and you humble yourself under it and keep its commandments, you'll abide in the Father. So again, I got to ask you this question. Have you left the Lord? Have you broken yourself away from the vine because you're not letting His Word abide in you? If that is describing you, you need to come back to the Father. You need to repent of your sins. We'll pray for you, we'll pray with you, and do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you so that you can be right in your relationship with God and not be spiritually dead. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.